Sure, appreciate you. Lord, cleanse me, search me out. I don't want to be a hindrance. I want to be a help. And Lord, I definitely don't want to do anything against you. Lord, help me to bring you glory. Help me to magnify your name. And Lord, as I preach not only to the church tonight, I preach for the church. And Lord, help us to bond closer together. We got work to do. And Lord, there's so much to be done. God, I pray that you might help us, strengthen us. But Lord, help us not to forget to praise you. God, you're wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you do. Please now guide us tonight through the scripture. Lord, I pray that you might guide our thoughts. And Lord, fill us up as you see fit. Give me power. And may you be pleased this evening. I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. As we preach on the church tonight, I want us to think about our influence. About our personal influence. Did you know that you influence many people? You influence many people. Now, whether or not you're a good influence, then we'll have to find out. But you, everybody here influences somebody. More than one. And all of us in the church influence the young people. All of us do. See, if I want to know the truth about you or the truth about me, I'm not going to ask your wife or your husband. I'm going to go ask the children. I'm going to gather up the children and I'll take, what if I would take a list and I gather up all the kids and I said, let's sit down here. Now, what do you think about Boyd? They're going to tell me the truth. What do you think about Gene? They're going to tell me the truth. What do you think about Rick? I mean, if we went right down the line, they're going, because they don't know no better but to tell the truth. You know. Yeah. What if I ask him and I call your name out and ask, what do you think about them? What would they say? What would they say about you? What would the kids say? See, they know whether or not they can talk to you. They know whether or not you really care about them. They know whether or not you're willing to stop and carry on a conversation. You know, some of the greatest conversations are with the young people. They'll teach you. They'll help you. You'll get to laugh. Then you'll go home and you'll cry. You will. Because of influence. There's people that's impacted my life from the time I was a little kid. They've impacted my life that I will never get over. Majority of it's good. But can I tell you, some of it ain't. And can I tell you, I remember the part it ain't as well as I do the part it's good. I remember the part it ain't good. That's what's sad. And when a name is mentioned, you ever cringe when somebody's name's mentioned? Talk to me. You ever cringe when somebody's name is mentioned? You don't dislike them. That ain't, you know, you don't hate them. You don't have a grudge against them. It just kind of, yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, anybody ever ask you, do you know somebody? Yeah, I know. What? That's what they say. What? Oh, nothing. But I know. Right? You know, everybody understand? You know why? Because of influence. Because of influence. And it's vitally important that we influence correctly. I have found that I am watched a whole lot closer than I thought I was. I found that out this year. That, I mean, I knew I was watched. I knew these things. There's a young man in the church. Let me tell you, Clark, you, and David Embry. Won't y'all listen tonight? There's a young man in the church that said, I want a pair of pants like David Embry and Clark Woods wears. Now, what kind of, you wouldn't think that a young boy would be paying any attention to what kind of breeches you got on. But yet there's a young man that says, I want that kind of breeches that Clark Woods and David Embry wear. You know why? Because they're watching you. And there's influence there. Think about that. You wouldn't think that, would you? Now, I can see a girl saying something about a lady, but for a young man to pay attention. You know, he's not young no more. He's older now. But I remember there's a young man named Jared Lyons. I won't say his name. When Jared Lyons used to come to church, you knew the first thing he done? He circled the place. Remember, Rick, when he circled the place. I don't know what he was, a detective, I reckon. He circled the whole place. I reckon he went in every room, every closet, everything. Then he comes to the office, Mayor Rick, and he said, when did you do that? When was that changed? What's going on there? Do you know that was broke? Do you know that was hanging there? Do you know this? Do you know that? I mean, that's what he does. And he didn't stop long enough to tell you much or to tell him anything. But he noticed everything. Remember that, Rick? We sit and laugh. We watched him come in and say, all right, here he'll be in just a minute. What if we'll be fine? We've said it. We've talked about it. Huh? Okay. I had a young man this summer that wanted, if y'all know me, I wear a suit when I come to church. Yes, shirt and tie, right? Dress breeches. But if I don't have this on, I go on 9 out of 10 times, I'll have on a blue chamois shirt and Levi's. Blue jeans. That's what I'll have. Normally, I'll have a pencil in my pocket. Normally. That's just me. That's what I've done for years. I got a blue chamois shirt and breeches on. Cheryl hates it. So I went and got 5 blue chamois shirts so I can always have a clean one. 3 pair of breeches. And so I can have one for every day. Said this to make her happy. But that's what I like. Okay. Well, there's a young man that helps me every now and then. That comes over to the house and he'll help me do something, lift something, put something up, maybe work a little bit in the garden, plant something. You know what he wanted? He wanted a blue chamois shirt and Levi's, pull on boots like the preacher wear. You know why? Because of influence. Because of influence. Now, everybody has something like that. Some of these young ladies will probably have said to their mother, I want my hair like that one day. Or I want that. Or because of so-and-so. Because of influence. Because of influence. You know, I want that kind of truck. I want that kind of car. Because that's what so-and-so drives. That's what so-and-so sees. See, we influence everyone. Then we come into the church house. And there's somebody influences our children. They know whether or not it's real. They know. And they watch and they listen. And you might think they're a million miles away. Maybe some of those are coloring or playing with something or gawking around. But they know what's went on in the service. And they know who done what. And they'll even say, sung such and such song, they so-and-so didn't get excited about tonight, did he? They said that. Some of the kids have said that. They notice when you don't amen like you normally do, or maybe you didn't lift your hand that time when the other times you have it, but they noticed. And it's all influence. And if you'll take time to talk to the young people, you'll see the truth about all of us. Okay. See, if you ask me how I'm always all right, right? Is that not right? But that may, I reckon it's a lie sometimes. I reckon. All right? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm okay, but I reckon if you would go down a list, I ain't. Okay? But the kids, they may go home and says, preacher wasn't feeling well, was he? You know, they see. and again, you know why? Because of influence. We better be careful how we're influencing. We better be careful what we're giving our young people tonight. And I want to preach that tonight. I want us to look at a couple of things. And I almost had, Jonathan, almost had you sing. But because I'm preaching to the church, I didn't. But y'all will see. Look at John chapter 6. And everybody still okay with me? And let's start at verse 8, okay? I would love to read the whole thing, but I want to read verse 8, and I'll preach to you just for a few minutes, an hour or three, and then we'll just see. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, speaking to Jesus, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now, we've heard this story all of our life, if you've been in church any time at all, about how Jesus took 2 little fish and 5 loaves of bread and fed the multitude. Have we not? Roughly 15,000 or so was fed with 2 little fish and 5 loaves of bread. Think about that. We've known that story. We've told it. We've preached it a million times, right? You've heard it over and over and over. And we know the story. We know it well. And we've probably even said this many times, this thought tonight. I know I preached it years ago in the old sanctuary. I preached this message and I thought about it as we've been studying, and I want to use the same. I have no way of knowing what I preached then, but I want you to look at something. Now, the main miracle is that Jesus is a miracle. He does miracles. You know it's impossible to take 2 little fish and 5 loaves of bread and feed 15,000 and have 12 baskets left over. I mean, it's impossible. Everybody know that? I mean, there is no way that nobody but God could do that. To take 2 little fish and 5 loaves of bread, feed 15,000 till they were full, and have 12 baskets left over. That just amazes me every time I read it. I think it's marvelous that God is that big, that Christ is God and done that miracle. You agree with that? But what I want to look at tonight is not just a miracle. Now, I'm not trying to take nothing out of context. I'm not trying to add nothing to the Bible. I just want to give you a thought. All right? We okay? Verse 9. It says, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. I want to preach tonight on what are you putting in the basket? What are you putting in the basket tonight? See, somebody packed this little boy's lunch. That's right. Somebody packed this little boy's lunch. Now, Jonathan sings that song, just a little boy and his lunch, and who would think that he'd be a singer someday? Huh? You know that song he sings? It's a wonderful song. Yeah. Huh? How God would just take anybody, just say anybody, nobody, and make him a person. And that's, if that don't fit Jonathan, I don't know anything it does. We've talked about this. That's a good testimony song for him. But somebody packed that boy's lunch. Somebody put something in his little basket. And I want to ask you tonight, what are you putting in the basket of these young people that's a part of our church? Now, I preach a lot to us grown-ups, and I'll even take times and preach to the kids, but I want to preach to us about the kids tonight. And I want to, what are you doing for them? What are you doing for the kids? See, I want all the young boys to stand up. If you're under 18, I want all the boys to stand up. If you're under 18, stand up for me. I want everybody to look around. Stand up. Stay standing up. Stand up, Buck Airlane. Stand up. Keep standing up, Elijah. You're not 18 yet. Ain't gonna hurt you. Humor me. I'm your preacher. Humor me. Alright? Listen, stand up here. Listen to me. Now I want you to look around. I want you to look. These men right here. In the next couple years are your deacons, maybe preachers, maybe teachers, but they're leaders of this church. What are y'all doing to help them? What are y'all putting in their basket? Huh? You're influencing them. Every man, look at these young men. Every man, look at these. You're influencing these young men. In everything you say, in everything you do, in everything you wear, in everything you drive, in any work you do, you're influencing these men. They're watching. They may never say a word, but they're watching. You can sit down. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much. I like the ladies to stand up. Those who are under 18, I like for the ladies to stand up. The young ladies, I want the ladies to stand up. Everybody look around. Look around. Come on. All right, now some of them ain't here tonight, but I want you to look around. See these ladies right here? All right, can I tell you what these ladies are? These are your future, huh? They're already working in the church, okay? But let me tell you what's going to happen. They're going to be marrying somebody like you men. Is that good or bad? Is that good or bad? Think about it. Men, they're going to marry somebody like you. Is that good or bad? You going to help them or hurt them? Right? They're going to be the Sunday school teachers. There may be deacons' wives, preachers' wives. But they're going to be having a home. And they're going to, in just a few, it's going to be before you know it. Okay? All right, Shayla's 14. How old are you?
Already 16.
All right, a doodlebug. I mean, look here how old they are already. Do you know that in 2 years, she's going to be an adult? In 4 years, Shayla's going to be an adult. In 6 years, Hannah's going to be. Hey, Lindsay, I'm sorry, but. But you look at Kayla and Brooke and Melmel. Look, they're going to be in 4 or 5 years, they're gone. Huh? You can sit down. Ladies, what are you doing for them tonight? The Bible says that you older ones are supposed to be teaching the younger ones. I want to know how many of you older ones are taking these little ones and teaching them. The Bible says to do that just as much as it says you must be born again. It's the same truth that I would that the older women teach the younger women. The same truth in the same book. Huh? Are you? Yes, you are. You may not be going to them individually and saying with them, but you're teaching them. You're teaching them. What are you teaching them? Are you teaching them already to be a submissive wife? To be meek and quiet? Huh? Or are you teaching them to be a busybody gossip? You're teaching them something. Are you teaching them to be faithful to their own husband? To love their own husband? To guide the house? Are you already teaching them that? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Men, are you teaching these young men how to labor? They're watching, they're seeing what kind of work you do. I probably could gather up these boys and inquire a little bit, then they probably know who's the timber cutter, who's the coal miner, who's the mechanic, who does this, who does that, who's retired. I bet they know. I bet they've already decided, some of them decided this is what I'm going to do because someone influenced them to do that.
Yes.
See, when I grew up, the only thing in my mind was to be a coal miner. Because Grandpa was a coal miner, Papa was a coal miner, Daddy was a coal miner, BB was a coal miner, Daryl was a coal miner. So I said, well, I'll be a coal miner. Daddy took me off to the side, listen, whatever you do, don't go in the mines if you can keep from it. Get you something. He said, I'll send you to college if you want to go, or get you a trade, but you don't need to go in the mines. So I said, okay, I'll be a machinist. And what was that? I ended up going in the mines, working on all this mine equipment. Right? And still ended up in a coal mine. But you know why? Because down deep I wanted to be what they were. You know why? Because the influence. I love sitting at the table, listening to them tell the stories about what was going on in the coal mine. So I wanted to be a coal miner. Everybody follow me? Why? Because of influence. Because of influence. See, they was teaching me, but they wasn't saying, all right, get your pencil and paper and take notes. No, no. But they were teaching me in what they said and how they acted. And they were coming to me, in a sense, teaching me.
Yes.
So what are you putting in these young men's basket? What are you putting in these young ladies' basket? Is it the important things that really matter, the godly thing? Can I tell you, listen, now if you get mad at me, you'll just have to get mad at me, okay? And you'll just have to get over it, because great peace have thee that love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee.
Amen.
Okay? But I do, now listen, I don't have a thing against sports, not one bit. I don't like it, but I have nothing against it. You know, if West Virginia or a pro team was playing in my backfield, I'd go to Walmart at the first of the month. And I hate Walmart. And I'd spend all day there. But I wouldn't go in the backfield and watch it. That's just me. Now, if you want to go back there with a white-tailed deer, I'll stay there for 20 days and never move a muscle. All right? But I mean, I'm just not interested in that. But can I tell you that we will spend more time influence our children to play sports, and we'll put all the sports in a basket for them, and we'll influence them that we know they're going to have to miss church, they're going to have to miss special forces, because it's worldly involvement and it's going to be on the world standards, so it's going to take them away from Sunday school. It's going to take them away from preaching or Sunday night, because there's tournaments. And now, you do what you want to do. It's your family. I'm just telling you, the things we put in the basket, someday we're going to wish it fell out.
Amen. Yes.
Okay? Because it's not going to benefit them. Oh, it teaches them sportsmanship. No, it teaches them greed, and it teaches them to hate the other team, and it teaches them how to look down on the ones that ain't as good, and it teaches them how to complain, and it teaches them how to criticize.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what it does. Now, you may not see that, but I'm just telling you what I see. It causes trouble in the church. Now, you do what you want to do. I'm just telling you, we better pay attention to what we put in the basket. All right? And our heroes need to be Paul and Silas and Barnabas.
Yep.
Instead of LeBron James and Kobe Bryant and some of these guys. Huh? I can't tell you much more of the other ones, because the ones I watched was all, or they're all dead. But now, I'm not saying nothing against you. I'm not saying nothing again. I'm just telling you, we better pay attention to what we're putting in a basket. I don't want to spend so much time putting a rifle or a shotgun in a basket or a fishing pole. I don't want to spend so much time putting a tractor or a baler in the basket. Yeah, they got to know to work, but that's not the most important. The most important thing is the godly things, of what's going to make them a godly man.
Amen.
I believe every young boy ought to know how to work and work with their hands.
Yes.
They shouldn't wait till they're 18 years old to learn to weed eat. They ought to be weed eating when they're 8 years old.
Yes.
Huh? Cutting with a hand sickle.
Yes.
Huh? Ain't going to hurt them. Cut grass with a pair of scissors. Anything. Just get them away from a video game outside. If nothing else, make them go sit in a mud hole and don't do this. Just get them outside. Huh?
Yeah.
Right? But we better be careful what we're putting them in a basket. We better be careful what we're putting there. These young ladies, we've tried to do it in Sunday school. It blessed my heart to know that Miss Betty was down there in Sunday school class showing the young girls how to clean a commode. And he said, well, why do they do it in Sunday school? Because they're supposed to be teaching that in Sunday school. The same way that Rick and Nick and someone, they took them down to the power plant alloy. They've had them outside. I remember one Sunday I heard something going, meh, meh. I said, what in the world are they doing down there? And Rick and Nick was down there with an impact driver and a drill, drilling holes in the walls, teaching the young boys how to use them Tapcon screws, drilling in the cement. And for something to have a Sunday school.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, they need to do that. And the young girls need to know how to cook.
Yeah.
How many of you men? I just want the men in. I want you men to be. How many of you men would love a good woman that can cook like nobody's business? I mean, anybody here? Any men like a woman that'll cook good? I mean, they can fix what do you like? Pinto beans, cornbread, corn pone, sausage, gravy, bacon, eggs, fried potatoes, fried chicken, baked steak and gravy. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Fried green tomatoes, fried squash, tomato dumplings. Can I keep on? We okay? How about black bread, cobbler, and apple pie? Lemon pie? How about that? We still okay, men? Talk to me, men. We still okay? Chicken, gravy, green beans, scalloped potatoes. I mean, ain't that wonderful? How many? Let me tell you. You know what you ought to be doing, older ladies, telling these younger ones how to do all that?
He's out the door when we go home.
This is what we need to do. Listen to me. Listen, you say, why are you preaching that? Because this is what we're putting things in the basket. Let me tell you what we put in our basket. We put McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King in our basket. It matters what we put in our basket. But we need important things. It ain't just them things. It ain't just weed eaters and lawnmowers and balers and welders and hammers and guns and balls. It ain't. It's the godly things. These are going to be our church. They're already carrying the church spiritually in a lot of ways. Some of our best services is when the youth choir sings. Now, why is that? Is it because they're spiritual or because we're lazy? They're just giving us honest what they are. They stand up there and sing, and some of them don't get along. They don't. They're because they learn it from us. But they'll sing, then you'll see one slip down there to the altar. Then you'll see some of them come over here and go pray with that one.
Yeah.
And we say, boy, ain't that wonderful. But yet we don't always do that ourselves. We're not always learning. I'll tell one on Landon. I asked him back in the early spring. I couldn't do much at all with this arm. I couldn't lift nothing after I had that stroke in February. And I said, Woodrow, I need you to come over and help me build some raise boxes. He said, okay, I'd love to. Use air nail and everything. Yeah, I'd love to. So I got him over and we started working. And he was using a power saw. He squared everything off. He cut the line, marked the lines, cut the lines. I held the boards. And it ended up, I started helping him instead of him helping me. So he caught on real quick and he was in charge. And you know what he said? He said, you going to hold that or not? Wonder where he heard that. All right, I'm holding the board, and he goes cutting us off. You ain't holding it. I got the board off. I laid it down there, and he said, well, straighten it up. That's crooked. Straighten it up first so I can nail it. He was teaching me. Can I tell you that some of these young people will teach us if we'll pay attention? We okay? Now, I don't know if he does Pat like that. Maybe him and Lane, they work together. But, because they get a little cocky and then they know how to do it all. And, you know, then you can't do it without them. Right? Well, I want you to know I don't want to never build nothing without them. I don't. But what are we putting in their basket? Does everybody still with? Everybody sees the mentality here, right? We okay? So I'm asking you what we're going to do. Well, let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, can we? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and see what we're putting in a basket. Just hang with me. We'll give you a little bit of scripture here. We're not trying to take nothing out of context. But you know what amazes me? That somebody thought enough of this boy to put something in his basket. And that boy then somewhere had some training that he didn't have no problem giving it to the disciples to use.
Amen.
Somewhere there must have been a little bit of training there to give. You agree to that? Now, it don't say all that, but I don't believe that Philip and Andrew went over and jerked it out of his hand and said, here's a boy that's got the little lunch, we'll take it. I don't believe it. I believe when they said, we need something to eat, he said, I got this. I can see that in my mind. A little boy come and said, it's all I got, but I'll give it to you. Here's two little fish and five loaves of bread. Because they said, well, what is that amongst so many?
Right.
Okay? So somebody has to teach that little boy something. Somebody packed that lunch. And you know what that little boy was able to do and give because somebody packed his lunch was to feed 15,000 people because of what somebody put in his basket. We okay? Because of what somebody took enough time to train and teach a little bit. And that boy was willing to give it to Jesus. Is that, should that not be our goal?
Yes.
That our children go further than us?
Yes.
That our children do more for the Lord than we could ever think?
Yes.
Huh? Did not it say there in 2 Little John? That know that he's their children. Walk in truth? Huh? It's great joy. Huh? Is that not what we're after tonight? You know, my boys played ball. Philip played football until he got aggravated and quit. He played basketball until he got aggravated and quit because Philip didn't have no patience. He had less than I did. He played baseball. Marcus played football. Right? They wasn't no good. They were just mediocre. They weren't no star players. But Philip wanted to play. He didn't want to sit the bench. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. He just didn't want to sit the bench. He wanted to get involved. Marcus just wanted to be part of the team. You know? And back then, we always teased Marcus. He wasn't going to run very far anywhere either. You know? Right? But they played ball. But you know what? I made sure that ball was not that, what was the important thing. I tried to teach him right now. Listen to me. That's me. I'm not criticizing. Nobody hears. Everybody understand me? Talk to me. I'm just asking what you're putting in a basket. It matters. So if I look here at 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says something here. He said, look at verse 3. He said, I thank God whom I served for my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. Look at verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Where did it start? It didn't start with Timothy. It started with Lois and Eunice. Because they started putting something in the basket when Timothy was little. And it's our responsibility. Every adult in this church tonight, it's our responsibility to make sure we put the right stuff in the basket of these young people.
Amen.
Well, what was it he put in? Well, they put faith in. It was an unfeigned faith. It was a faith like none other. Our children need to know that it's okay to trust God.
Amen.
That's the only way. So when they grow up and they have trials and tribulations and hurt, they wait a minute. Mommy and Daddy and Popo and Mama told me I could trust God. It was an unfeigned faith put in Timothy.
Amen.
And that's what we got to have.
Yes.
But sometimes we don't put that in the basket because we ain't got it. I wonder when whoever packed that boy's lunch is the only reason they put two little fish and five loaves of bread, because that's all they had. Maybe that's all they had. Now maybe that was enough. With God, anything's enough. Everybody follow me tonight. But let's look over and let's see. Chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We still okay? Chapter 3, let's look at verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou, Paul's writing to Timothy, he said, now, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a what? Child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you tonight, we need to make sure that we're putting an unfeigned faith in their basket, and we're putting the Scripture, the Bible, in their basket. They need to know the Bible. Of all of youth camp, when they do the Bible drills and they find the Scripture, just like that, I just kind of go, And then when they walk up there and they get their paper, and their paper says they run the 100-yard. No, it don't say they run the 100-yard dash. It says that they was top verse quoters for memorization in their age group. Now y'all know I love my doodle bug. Y'all know that. She's my doodle bug, and Lindsay lost her place when she come on the scene. But I don't know that I've ever been more, and I hate to use the word, but more proud when they give her the certificate this year, because she quoted more verses than anybody in her age group. There's nothing she could have done more in the world that would have been better than she had the Scripture memorized.
Amen.
We okay? Listen, we've all failed in the past. We've all failed with our children. We have. If we look back and say, man, I wish I'd done it. Well, we can't go back and change that. But all these kids we just had stand up, we can gain it with them. And we can influence them, and we can start putting stuff in their basket, even though we may have failed with our own. God's given us a chance in this church, which is far greater blessed than you understand if you go preach and go to visit other churches when they ain't no kid.
That's right.
They was 104 downstairs this morning.
Yes.
Ain't that a blessing?
Yes.
They was 104 downstairs in junior church, children's church, nursery church, and the workers. They was 104 downstairs. That's more than most churches have in their church.
Yes.
So what are we going to put in our basket? See, it's almost like trick or treat. They got their basket, and they're coming to you to see what you're going to put in it. And you're either going to trick them or treat them. Huh? What are you putting in their basket tonight? Godly things. Lois and Eunice made sure Timothy had godly things. How about Daniel chapter 1? Everybody still with me? Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to hurry. I know y'all's tired. Y'all been busy all day. I ain't been busy today. I've coasted today. Huh? I'm being sarcastic, y'all know. Daniel chapter 1. Now, I'm just going to ask you a question. I don't know this answer. I'm going to assume. Okay? I'm going to assume this answer. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 3. And I'm going to read down through verse 8. And the king spake unto Ashpenazah, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Children. Now these children were all kidnapped.
Right.
These were all Jews in a Muslim land.
Yes.
All right. These were Jews that was kidnapped and brought into a Muslim land. They were not there on their own. They were young people kidnapped. Yeah. It says, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Well, it's amazing to me that these children were already smart. You know, poor things has changed. Verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Mishael, and Azariah, to whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Somebody taught Daniel something. Daniel didn't learn this after he was kidnapped.
No.
Am I looking at this correctly? He was kidnapped, a Jew kidnapped in a Muslim land, and he knew, I can't live like that.
Yeah.
And he took a stand somewhere. Somebody instilled in him the truth about God. Somewhere, a mommy, a daddy, or a papa, or a mama, or an aunt, or an uncle, somebody that had great influence, influenced Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that they wouldn't bow down to a false god. Somewhere, somebody filled their basket up with good stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I'm not adding nothing to the Bible, nor taking anything away. I'm just saying that a young man ain't going to know to stand like that if he ain't been taught. He didn't learn that at school. Huh? We still okay? He was taught godly things. Someone put it in his heart. What are we putting them in the basket of these kids? We need to make sure we put in the basket of these kids the right Bible.
Yes.
The King James Bible.
Yes.
That they're not fooled and deceived and snookered in any way.
Yes.
That it's not our preference, but it's right and it's true.
Amen.
That salvation is still by the blood.
Yes.
That's still by grace. It's still the mercy of God. It's still repentance from sin, faith in Jesus Christ, as the scripture said.
Yes. Right.
We need to be instilling that that there's no other way. There ain't no other way. That Christ is God. I was so too. I was at that ordination last night, and they asked me if I had a question. I said, I got one main question. I think everything else has been answered. I asked a young preacher, I said, who's Jesus? That's all I really want to know. Who do you say Jesus is? He said, I believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. That he's the virgin born son of God and he's God in the flesh. I said, hallelujah. You got the major doctrine right. Everything else can be touchy. Huh? Are you hearing me? We need to make sure our kids know this. Because they're going to be told it's not true. And people say what they want. You can say what you want. Internet, you can say what you want. But the King James Bible tells us that Jesus is God, and the other versions say He ain't. There's a vast difference. There's a vast difference. If you read that Jesus is God's only Son or God's only begotten Son. Because only Son, I am a Son of God. The Bible teaches. And the angels are sons of God, as the Bible teaches. But there's only one begotten Son of God. And that's Jesus Christ. Huh? It does make a difference. It does make, and if it makes a difference in the doctrine of the deity of Christ, then the rest of it's already corrupt.
Amen.
Now that's just the truth of the matter.
Amen.
That's not downing nobody. Don't care what you read, what you have, I'm just telling you. We better make sure this is instilled. Because someday they're going to be challenged on it. What are we putting in their basket? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Everybody still okay with me? You got to be. Great peace have thee that love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. Huh? See, if you don't like what I'm saying and you're offended, then you don't love the Word of God. That's what it says, because nothing shall offend you. And I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not. Y'all understand that. But I'm not going back off that scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We still okay? Let's look at this right quick. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is the account of David getting ready to fight Goliath, right? Now look what happened here. David comes to Saul. He sees what's going on. Goliath's down there showing himself, daring everybody. David says, I'll go fight him. We know how the story goes, right? Everybody with me? Now look here at verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I love this. I love this so much. Look at what it says. And I went out after him. Now, we already know David's a young guy. And it says that a lion and a bear come. Boys, y'all listen. Y'all listen. And a lion and a bear come and took a lamb, and I went out after him. Not me and the guys. I went out after him. Huh? And I went out after him and smote him. I went out after him and smacked him. What's this? Huh? I love that. Huh? Hey, Woodrow, remember the stories I used to tell you all the time? Huh? This is the one that we ought to went back and read. Huh? Huh? When David had the lamb stole, and he went out there and found that bear and smacked him. They got a hold of his beard, it said. Got a hold of his beard and he didn't kill him, but he smote him. He smote him. Then he slew him.
Yeah.
But he smote him. He smacked him. I don't know about y'all, but that's pretty good of a little fella.
Yeah.
Huh? Now, is that what the Bible says or not? It says, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. I took it from him. He had it in his mouth. I smacked his head and took it out of his mouth. He don't take my lamb. Huh? I can see it. Huh? Can't you see that? That'll make a movie about that, huh? And when he arose against me, well, you know the bear and the lion ain't going to like it. When he rose up against me, it says, I caught him by his beard and smote him. He raised up like you ain't. I just smacked him again and killed him. Huh? I don't know about y'all. How about that, fellas?
Yeah.
Huh? Y'all ready? Y'all want to go bear hunting, lion hunting? Huh? He didn't take no sword, no shotgun. He went out there and said, you ain't taking my lamb, and he smacked him. That's what it says. I love it. Verse 36, it says, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Hey, no problem. He ain't even 9.5 foot tall. He ain't gonna be no problem. If I had done whooped the bear in the line with my hands, I probably wouldn't be scared of a 9.5 foot tall man either. Huh? Really? Now think about what I'm saying. If I went and caught, I had to catch him first. You understand, he had to catch him. He went out and caught the bear in the lion, took the lamb out of his mouth, smacked him, then killed him. I don't know that I'd be afraid of a 9.5 foot tall anything. Is that true or not? And when you read the story, David and Goliath, tell it right. Tell it exciting, because that's what it says. To me, I'd be right up on the edge of my seat saying, all right, tell me more, tell me more. Well, I tell you what he did. He went then over to the brook, put 5 rocks in his back. Dennis Legg preached about why he had 5 rocks. I tell you why I think he just had 5 rocks. He didn't have no more place in the bag, as always, bag would hold. That's why I think he took 5 rocks, because he couldn't get no more in the bag. That's my opinion. Huh? Everybody else says it was this for that and this for that. That may be. But I think he wasn't planning on all that, and he just had a small little leather sack on his side, and he just filled up and 5s all took. Okay? We okay? And he wound that sucker up and slung it. Now, when you read your Bible, you'll see that they had them slingers in the Bible. And they slung them. That's what it says. They were slingers in there and they slung them. Just look it up. And they slung it. And they was accurate enough that they could knock a bumblebee off a clover bloom at 50 paces. I mean, they were good at slinging them slings. We okay? Ain't that, boys, y'all want me to teach your Sunday school? Was that more exciting than the way that was y'all taught? Huh? It's more exciting, ain't it? Huh? What is it Andy Griffith said? Just put a little bit more jam on the bread. Huh? That's what you do. But that, I didn't exaggerate. It's what the Bible says. We everybody still okay? Now, who taught David to do that? The Bible says that he took care of his daddy's sheep. Who taught him to be a shepherd? Daddy did. Who taught him how to protect the sheep? Daddy did. I wonder who taught him to sling that sling. I allow Jesse did. Old dad. Who put enough courage in him? I could just see Jesse saying, now listen, boy, I'm going to the house. You're here by yourself. Now I'm going to the house. Me and the brothers up there, we're going to the house. You take care of the sheep. Now, don't you let nothing come in and get him. Yeah. Now, if a bear line comes in, you just fix it. Can you not hear the orders given? I can hear that in my mind. You just make sure nothing happens. You can handle it. There's nothing out here to hurt you. How many of us men have told our kids that when we took them hunting and set them the first time by the door, ain't nothing here to hurt you. You'll be okay. Is that right? Everybody with me? So here's what happened. Jesse left. Here come the bear. And David said, well, Daddy told me I can handle it. So let's go handle it. Do you know that if we'll be honest with our kids and show them and do the same thing, they'll do what we do and they'll not question it? Because they see it being done right. Because of what we're putting in the basket. Does that make sense to any of y'all tonight? Huh? I sat down this afternoon. I thought about this message all week. And the message on hell I've thought about for a couple weeks. And I thought about this message of the things put in my basket. I thought of my papa and my mama. If my papa Bill and my mama Frida ever put anything in my basket, it was trust. That you trust the Lord. They never did have much financially. Never did. I can remember, and I look back on it, I didn't think nothing of it then. But I look back on it, when mama would go to the grocery store and I'd go up to help carry in groceries, it might be 2 oranges. Maybe a loaf of bread. A can of milk. I didn't think, and I look back on it and I say, well, is that because all she needed? Yeah, that's probably all the money she had. That's all she could get. Are you hearing me? So they trusted the Lord. Papa's health was bad, heart attacks, and Mama ended up, then after Papa died, she got cancer, but they trusted. And I watched them. I said, man, I can trust the Lord. And then my daddy. Now my daddy put a lot of stuff in my basket. But the main thing maybe that he put in my basket, he put in my basket a backbone. To stand. To stand. My daddy may have had a lot of faults. Just like everybody else's daddy. But he would stand. And I was taught to stand. To stand what was right. To not back up. Cut my head off, but don't back up. That's what I was taught. And I tried to do that very thing. And then I started looking. My mommy put something in my basket. It was charity. Mooney can tell you, if there's anything mommy's ever done, she's give away everything she's had, ain't she, Mooney? She'll give away and give and give and give and give and give and do without and give. You gotta you used to have to watch her. She can't see now to even make. You had to watch her. You go down, she'd bring out the checkbook. Wasn't it right? Yeah, you need money. You need. What I need, I don't need no money. Well, you come over here. You spend gas. You done it. That's, you gotta give. Gotta give. Gotta give. Just, it was aggravating. But you know what she taught me? Charity. To give. To give everything. I've watched mommy give everything. She put that in my basket. I thank God for what's been put in my basket. I thank God for the trust, the faith, you know, the willingness to stand, the charity. Then I thought of Big Holly, my pumped brother. He was Big Holly to us, and he was a preacher. And if there's anything, anytime he was around him, it was nothing. It was nothing for him to grab the guitar out of the case. And I loved it when he would come home from Florida, and he could pick. He had that thumb beat, Lindsay. He could pick that guitar at that thumb beat, and he'd sing. Supper time. Come home, it's supper time. And the tears would drip off his face around that guitar as he was thinking about Grandma. Thinking about how good God's been. He cut loose on I forget the name of the song now, but just shout, and I watched him and Papa shout all over the living room. And you know what he showed me? Put in my basket the Holy Spirit power. That you could have the power of God. We still okay? Huh? Then I thought about my Uncle Kenny. What did my Uncle Kenny put in my basket? My Uncle Kenny could talk to anybody. My Uncle Kenny could go up a holler to strangers, and before you know it, he was sitting down eating supper, and they was bringing out family albums, and they thought he was one of the family long lost cousin. I mean, he just had a way with people. I mean, that's the way he was. And you know, it seemed like that the older I get, that God has given me something that I can just, it seemed like I can just talk to anybody. No matter whether they're fancy or whether they're nothing. I said, boy, I sure do thank God that Kenny put some of that charisma, maybe, whatever you'd call it, in my basket. Huh? But then I thought about all my teachers. And my soul, the ones that taught me that soul winning was important, like L.T. Jordan and Keith DeLong. Huh? They told me that soul winning was important. Huh? There's a man, he's in with the Lord now. Clinton Schaefer. Clinton Schaefer. If he didn't do anything, he put prayer in my basket. That you, it was nothing. If you go spend an hour with him, boy, it'd be okay. Go pray an hour. Go pray. Go pray through the night. Go pray. I'd go by many a time, many a night coming home from church or visitation or revivals, and I'd go up there and knock on the door and say, Clinton, I need you to pray. He said, let's pray. You want to pray, just go to Clinton's house. It didn't matter what time, he'd pray. You want to pray for a while? Let's pray a while. He put it in my basket. There's another lady named Hope Vaughn that I was a grown man, and she put a shout in my basket.
Yeah.
Huh? I just want you to know that there's influence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Has anybody influenced you?
Yeah.
How are you influencing others? Huh? How are you influencing others tonight? I believe tonight it matters. What we're putting in their basket. I believe it matters tonight. I don't know how, if I should give an invitation, but here's what I'd like to do. Hope, if you would, I'd like for you to come up here. And Rick Childers, I want you to come right here and stand. And Hope, if you need to, boy, you help her. She needs some help, and you let her hold on to you. And lean her right here where she can lean up again. Let she lean up again. Here. Now I'm going to do something tonight. This is what I've been thinking and praying. And I know that Brother Rick is not the oldest here as far as the men go. But this is how this man has influenced me. If I had to pick a Christian, I would pick Rick Childers. If I had to pick a Christian male. Now, I love you men, and I got confidence in you too. And I thought about who to stand up here. But this is how you've influenced me, Rick. You've not tried. You don't want none of this. You don't want to be here. You wish you'd back here sitting. You wish I'd shut up. I know that. But you've influenced many people with that Bible you have in your hand.
Yes, sir.
And you've showed me the way you've raised your kids and the influence your children has had with Sam and Paul and David. You got a godly wife. Kim, I see you and him together. When I see a Christian, I see y'all's name, y'all's picture beside the name. That's just me.
Amen.
Now y'all feel what y'all want to, think what's wrong. I'm just telling you the influence this man's had on me. Now there's a lot of godly women here. Carolyn and Betty and I love all of you. Y'all understand that? Y'all ladies understand that? But if there's ever a patriarch, that don't want to be standing here either, that wants to be left alone and just praise the Lord in her house and left alone. But if there's anybody that's influenced me and ought to be a example before you ladies, she's buried 2 children and 1 missing. She buried grandchildren. She's buried husbands. And she's standing right here. Praising the Lord for the cross tonight. Are you hearing me? And I'd like for all the women to stand. Right now, all the little girls. I'd like for all you little girls to stand. All the women to stand up right now. And Hope, I want you to look at these women, these little girls. Would you pray for them? Will you pray for them, these mommies and these women, these elder women, that they'll put stuff in the right, in the basket right? And will you pray for these little girls? I want you to pray for them right now, if you will. And we're going to agree with you. You pray, sis. Thank you, ladies. You can be seated, young ladies and girls. Now, listen, I don't think these are sinless people. Nothing like that. They've got their faults and failures like all of us. But I'm just wanting you to know there's been a lot of baskets that's passed Miss Hope's way. There's been a lot of baskets that's passed her way. Sunday schools and jailhouses and all over in Georgia and Tennessee and West Virginia. And that's why I wanted her to pray. Brother Rick, I know you're no better than anybody else. I know that. But you've taught a lot of people. You've been faithful to that book. Your ex-pastor is sitting right there on that bench. He knows what you've done in the past to teaching that book. And years ago, Dennis said, Brother Rex trained many a preacher.
Yeah.
With that book. I love this man. I love the Bible that he teaches. I'd like for the men to stand tonight. Would you please, young boys, young men, I want you to stand. Brother Rick, I want you to pray for us.
Yes.
That we'll put the right things in the baskets. That we'll stand the test. I want you to pray for us, buddy. Would you please?
More important than getting the next generation. backwards and forwards along the way. But God, we're directly responsible for our children. Yeah. Thank you for reminding us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Eat it if you would. I don't know what you got on your mind. I don't know what God may have laid on your heart. I don't know. If you want to do business with the Lord, the altar's open. We're not going to sing a song of invitation. We're just going to let you know that you're allowed to come. I want to do something tonight. I've thought about it many times. In these collection plates are the names of every kid in our church. Sunday morning, Wednesday, and Sunday night. Every boy and every girl. Right? I want you, if you will, men, before you leave tonight, I want you to come by and see, the boys are on this side. I want you to come by and I want you to get a name. And I want you to hang around to make sure. I want all these names gone tonight. If you need to take two or you need to take three. If you don't know who they are, you come to me or Greg and Maria or Jason and Rachel and we'll tell you. And I want you to pray over them. They're yours. They're yours. They're yours to influence. They're yours to help and encourage. They're yours to pray for. I don't want you to go to them and tell them. I don't want you to go to them and tell them, listen, I'm the one that's over here. I don't want them to know. I want you to know. If you need help, you talk to me and Greg. We'll help you out. Everybody understand that, men? Won't you do it? And there's one for the ladies the same way. It looks like there's more girls than there are boys. And I want you to pray for them. I want you to take that name. And I want you to pray for them every day. And every chance you get, make sure you drop something right in her basket. Every chance you get, you make sure you drop something worth dropping in their basket. It's going to help them with godly things and godly decisions. We're a church, we're a family. And I'm responsible for you, but you're responsible one for another. Is that okay? Let's stand together. If you're not saved tonight, let me tell you that Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And he suffered for you tonight. And he wants to save you. If you're not saved, you need to repent of your sins and place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You need saved. If you're not saved, you need saved. For to hell you'll go if you don't get saved. You need to know that tonight. I want you to understand that. But right now I want to pray and then we'll be dismissed and I want you to come around, ladies, and I want you to stay here. Don't everybody leave. I want to make sure everybody's gone. I don't want one of these kids left there. Rick prayed it. God, we're not willing to give up any of them. And I want to put something in their basket. After I'm done and gone, I want these kids, if the Lord tarries, to be sitting on a porch somewhere. It said they was an old blockheaded preacher that filled my basket up for the things of God. That's what I want. I want to do it right. You know why? Because y'all's worth it. Every one of you is worth it tonight. Father in heaven, I come. I've tried my best to mind you tonight, and I hope that you've got glory. We can't do none of this without you. Lord, it's all about you, but Lord, you give us a responsibility. Oh God, help us not to be slack on it. Speak to every heart. And I thank you for our church, Mountain State Baptist Church. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, and amen.